Welcome to the Before Midnight podcast from the N Plus One studio overlooking downtown Frankfurt. What a beautiful evening tonight, looking at the lights. We're talking about the world of multi-sport, anything to do with triathlon, swimming, biking, running. We're there. I'm your host, Linda Word, along with my co-host, Brian Schenkenfelder. How are you this evening, Brian?
Phenomenal, as always. I'm ready to go tonight. It's been a good weekend, been a busy weekend, and all ready to go. Revved up, ready to go this evening.
Awesome.
You're just the opposite. You're about ready to die. God.
I am so tired. I have not been this tired in a long, long time. So tell me what's got you all energized, and then we'll talk about what's killing me.
It's been a good week. We're in the process of moving my bike shop. I'm getting out of the retail side of the bike business and going into more of the maintenance. And limited,
so what's wrong with the retail, Brian?
Limited retail selling. Retail space is not cheap, and it just costs too much to keep going. It's not a profitable business. The future of retail from a brick and mortar standpoint is ending. It's just crazy. I mean, I saw it today. We were looking at insulation, kind of a foam-based insulation, just a little 3 millimeter that you can put inside rather than the typical fiberglass insulation, just something we can put in there.
Spray foam. There's so many different kinds. Well, you're looking at like a roll kind of stuff.
It's kind of
right?
a roll. It's more I'm moving into an outbuilding, so it's not really a shed. I guess it is a stable shed type environment.
It's a very fancy stable.
But the walls are wood to go to the outside. Yeah. So I need. Yeah. I can't just put the fiberglass stuff in there because it's not weatherproof.
Oh,
your houses tend to have a wrap around them that's the vapor line. So yeah. This is kind of just like a aluminum mesh kind of rollout thing that you just kind of stick up, and it's weatherproof, so it'll
won't matter if it gets wet.
Won't matter if it gets wet.
But you won't freeze your tail off when
and
you're
I won't freeze my tail off in my when I'm working on bikes in the winter, and it'll hopefully keep the little bit cooler in the summer.
But you had to find it online because you can't find...
Well, that's the whole thing is like Lowe's, I can get it at Lowe's, but they're going to have to order it. Or I think the Lowe's in Shelbyville had a few of the smaller ones.
Okay.
I could have gone there and probably gotten some. Or I can go on Amazon and have it by Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Sunday today for those in reference point. So within 2 days, I can have it shipped to my house from Amazon, or I could have had it ordered at Lowe's. It would have showed up by the end of the week, and then I would have had to go and pick it up.
Yeah. Or you can go to Shelbyville and maybe not get enough.
I wouldn't
of
have
it.
Been enough because I need a lot.
Yeah.
I would have needed like 20. Wouldn't have had that many.
No. Yep. So retail is tough.
So retail, local retail is just dead. The advent of shipping and of 2 day shipping, Amazon brought that along. That was pretty much the end of bike store retail, to be honest. Because I would sell accessories regularly, and then 2 day shipping came along, and then the amount of accessories I sold just plummeted. It was actually wild to watch real time how that happened. And now Walmart's 2 day shipping. Everybody's 2 day shipping.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's, why would you go to the store?
Yeah.
And then the bike industry, it's worse because most people who are in it and know it, they know exactly what they want. They know exactly what brand of everything they want. They can go to the local bike shop who's probably not going to have it and is going to have to order it a la Lowe's.
Yeah.
Or they can just order it themselves and have it in 2 days.
Yeah. But then they can bring it to the bike shop to have it put on. Hence, you can still do.
Yes.
Maintenance.
Well, I mean, it's crazy. I remember, I don't know how many bikes I've put together that people bought online just in the last year or two.
Yeah.
People buy the bike, and they brought it into the bike shop to put it together, which to some extent is hilarious because probably by the time they paid my fees for assembling their bike, it would have been about the same price of a bike they bought for me directly.
Oh, well.
I mean, it might have been a little bit more, but it's like, oh, man. Because the bike you buy for me has already been assembled.
Yeah, it's
and
already been put
to
together.
Go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's,
people don't take all that into consideration.
No, they don't.
But, you know, they just don't think that way. Everybody's looking for a good deal, which, I mean, we all are.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So retail is just a dying industry, so I'm looking to get out of that side of it. People still need bike maintenance.
Oh, yes.
I'm planning on setting up shop at home for bike maintenance, do some pickup stuff, maybe some drop-off stuff, and then do some retail sales to people I know, bikes and stuff like that, if I can get them to people who are looking for them. Because I'm going to be able to get really good deals on bikes because my overhead's going to be pretty limited.
Because you won't have to pay rent anymore.
Because there's no more rent, the electricity. Yeah, I'm going to have to pay some electricity, but it's not going to be that much because it's going to be tied into my house. Because I know you pay a premium for having an account.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. So,
yep.
Internet I'll be sharing from the house. So, my expenses will plummet quite a bit. And because I won't be there except to do maintenance, my electric bill will be minimal because I won't have to keep things on all the time.
My running group is very sad, though. Running group met there on Saturdays. It's like, but wait, where are we going to meet that has a coffee maker in a bathroom? It's like, well, I'll find you another spot. You're the second retail place that's closed that we used to meet at, which is sad. But, oh, well, it's all right.
Well, you can meet at the shop, the new bike shop.
Yeah. We'll probably meet at the dance studio downtown.
Yeah.
She's open. For now. She has coffee and a bathroom.
For now.
For now. Well, you know, dance is not retail, so
that's true. It's
a service-based business, so she'll probably be around for a while. And she's got rollers. She's got foam rollers. Runners like foam rollers. So that might work out.
There you go. Yeah.
Got it all set up. So what else was going on? How's your boy doing?
Alex is doing well. We got caught up in my son's a big YouTube watcher, like all kids under 10. And
I'm sorry, I have 21-year-old and 23-year-old, and they cannot get enough of YouTubers as well. Probably a little different than your son, but you know.
It's fascinating because YouTubers make a ton of money.
I never watch anything like that. I just don't get it. I have no desire, but they love it.
Some of them are really good. Okay. Some of them are garbage, and I don't understand why some of the kids watch them. But some of those guys are really good, and they're the ones that are making the big money, and they are making $5, $6, $7, $8 million a year.
That's insane. But anyway,
They are basically their own film studio. I mean, it's what we're seeing here is the federalization of what used to be centralized. Music was centralized. You had record labels; they controlled everything.
Right.
Television was controlled by the big networks
and the movie studios.
Now all that stuff's being federated out, and you can start your own studio in your house. If you get good enough, if you're talented, people watch it, you're making money, and you
don't have to go through a studio.
You don't have to go through the studio, so there's no gatekeeper. You don't have to go. You can basically create your own living.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a chunk of what you see going forward with music and entertainment.
Yeah.
Netflix and Disney's, and they're doing their own thing.
Disney's got their new whatever service coming out.
Yeah, which is going to take away everything that's good on Netflix for the most part, which is why Netflix has a ton of their own shows, because all of their movies and stuff pretty much go away because Disney has a huge catalog that Netflix is using.
It's so funny because, over 30 years ago, I worked for a market research firm, and we did the first market research studies on what videos, VHS tapes, Disney was going to put out before they were available. And it's like, wow. And that was one of my first jobs. And now it's like, yep, you can watch any Disney movie anytime.
Well, we're getting to the point now, which is what people wanted probably 15 years ago, which was kind of a la carte TV watching.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening, which is why cable and all these huge conglomerates who've been selling you stuff you don't want for so long.
Yeah. Yes, they have.
I mean, seriously, you've had 200 channels that people watch. Most people watch maybe, six or seven of those 200 channels?
Yeah.
It might be a different six or seven.
We still have like old-fashioned basic cable. And out of 98 channels, I probably watch 5 of them.
Yes. And that's typical for everybody.
Yeah.
Now, it might be a different 5 you watch.
Yeah. I'm not watching any of the sports.
Guys are going to watch the ESPN channels.
Right.
Like Home and Garden, Tetwork is a big popular one with a lot of people. My mom watches
the FX.
Yeah, the movies and stuff. My mom watches the damn Hallmark channel.
Oh my God, I cannot stand Hallmark movies. Sorry. Sorry to Brian's mom. I like you, but God, I can't stand those predictable. Ugh.
You don't like going? You can come visit all the time. Once we sit and watch when we go to their house for Hallmark movies.
Thanks for the invite, but I think I'm busy that night.
When sports aren't on, we watch Hallmark movies. Just wonderful.
So what have you guys been watching on YouTube?
So we got stuck into a gentleman named Fowler. I guess his channel is Fowler's Makery of Mischief. And he did a 30-day kind of wilderness challenge. It wasn't like a survival challenge because they had tents. It was kind of a survivalish type show. Mainly it was they had to go get their food. Okay. It was not...
And not at Kroger.
They had to hunt for their food and whatever they... If they didn't catch their food, they didn't eat.
So did they show them, like, killing the food?
Generally not. They didn't show them cutting them up or anything like that, generally. Okay. They would show the meat. I mean, they'd show some of it once it's dead and, like, kind of...
But it didn't totally gross out your kid.
No, not at all. I mean, they weren't, like, cutting the heads off and stuff like that. But they would have it cut up, and they would, like... Some of it, they would do some skinning of it, just show like the fat and the meat from like a raccoon or a raccoon, I think was the one of them.
Yeah,
raccoons are very fatty animals, apparently. A lot of fat, just, not a lot of meat.
I guess the raccoons that I've seen, I would never want to ingest.
Ingest raccoon or starve.
Yeah.
Raccoon or
starve.
Well,
I guess, you know, the raccoons that he's catching are not like the ones that you see next to the highway, so...
Yeah,
they're
so they're
not eating garbage.
So they're in tech. They were in Texas somewhere along a river. So they had. Okay. So they were throwing out lines every night to try to catch catfish. They had crawdad traps that they were catching crawdads in. What else were they hunting? They would hunt like rabbits and possums. They'd trap those and raccoons. And then like on day like 7 or 8, he had droned in an air gun. That was
Amazon from Amazon.
No, I'm sure it was somebody. They talked about it a little bit later. They had a base camp where they could go, where they could get their batteries charged for their cameras and stuff because they were filming it all for YouTube. Yeah. So I mean, they weren't going there to get food or stuff like that, but they were like any of the supplies they would need for like fire starters and stuff like that.
Okay, they're not scraping rocks together.
Yeah, he always had like 4 or 5 things. He would do some advertising for the vendors and stuff.
He would do
some of that stuff.
He was
shooting the gun like one episode, trying to get it tarled in because they had a nice scope on it that you would shoot. You would take the scope and you'd get it to where that was, and it would do the offset for you.
Oh, nice.
So you would get So you would immediately get accurate shots. I think he only killed like a rabbit with one. I didn't get to watch all of it, but there was a great scene where there's this turkey. He's like hunting like for turkey and deer, and he's sitting there and he has his journal out and he's writing, and this turkey's like walking behind him.
Cameraman's not going psst.
Well, he was cameraing himself. It's just him. He doesn't have a cameraman. But he knew how to set up camera angles and stuff. This guy was really good.
Wow.
So he had a selfie stick he would do some of the camera with, and he would set them up.
I was figuring there was two of them there, but no, it was just him, huh?
There were two, but the other guy was doing his channel as well, so they really didn't interact much at all.
Oh, okay.
And so he would set up his camera, do what he was doing.
And have a turkey behind him. That's too funny.
A turkey behind him, which is hilarious. But then he missed the turkey because he had setting for the bullet, and then he had like arrows, and he didn't get them switched, so it shot over the turkey's head, so he missed the turkey. So he didn't get to eat turkey that night.
Too bad.
So my son has been watching this.
Back to the point. Yes.
And it is addictive. We watched the whole dang on thing, I think. Like all 30 days. He had like, it was like a 40-minute episode for each day. And
Did you watch this all this weekend?
Yeah, pretty much last 5 or 6 days.
Okay. Jeez Louise.
We were watching, you know, 4 or 5 episodes a night, and just boom, boom, boom. It's 20-30 minutes an episode. It was good. It was entertaining.
What
the guy
did Jenny
was good.
Think of this?
She was watching it too. She got sucked in. He was good. He was very good at what he did. He put good camera angles.
Fowler.
He would talk about it, and it was just interesting. He was an interesting fellow.
Okay.
And then he was like very religious, so he liked to pray for every meal. And they would start like, as when they got hungry, they'd start eating. It was like, oh, wait a minute, we forgot to pray. They would pray.
Okay.
Lord, thank you for my food.
Thank you for the fact that I could aim.
And it was just, it was a really neat show. He was a fairly survivalist guy, and it was really kind of a neat show. But
They were in Texas?
Texas for this one.
Okay.
It must have been in the winter because it got cold a couple nights, but it wasn't like super cold.
Okay.
It got warm too, so it was probably fall or spring. Might have been fall since they were allowed to hunt deer and stuff.
Yeah, it must have been fall.
Yeah. And they were eating like cactus. They'd get cactus and he'd eat cactus.
That sounds painful.
The flowering part, I guess. There's a fruity part. And they would like get that and kind of peel it and eat it. And it was like a melon type flavor. He ate grasshoppers one day. They fried up grasshoppers one day.
That's nasty. Ew.
So my son was like, I was able to convince him to go hiking today as an adventure for ourselves. So our property. Just to get outside. We had a beautiful weekend. 70s. It was absolutely gorgeous weekend.
It was gorgeous this weekend. Yeah.
I got to ride both days. But we went hiking up there's a ravine out on our property back there. So we walked down into the ravine and hiked up the ravine. And we found some crawdads.
Oh.
We didn't eat them. They were way too small. Like one was like maybe three or four millimeters long. I don't know how I found that
one. How did you even see that?
Well, I saw there's like a little tadpole in the water. And I was like, oh, wait, there's a little crawfish next to me.
Pull out the microscope. Yeah.
So we had our adventure. Yeah. We should have gotten I need to get my GoPro out. We could video camera and start our own YouTube channel.
There you go.
Alex's adventures.
There you go. You know, Alex has a lot of adventures. He would have a blast doing that.
We'd have to go find places to do. I need to work on my video skills, I guess, anyway.
Maybe work on his.
We'll probably need video skills for something somewhere. Like start working on YouTube channel and do other things with video. Who knows? Yeah, it was.
Future holds anything.
It's been a fun weekend. But yeah, I got to ride bikes. Got to ride the Ravinio. I got that set up.
Oh, awesome! That's right.
And out. I've got my Fuji SL that I rode on Saturday for my long ride. And then today I just kind of took the other one out to kind of test ride it.
Cool. Got the tires done on it?
Yeah, I got. Well, I just ordered new wheels.
Oh, that's right. That's
just
right.
To be done with it. And put some 28 tires on it. And I remember how disappointing that bike was.
Aww.
The back end, since it's a road endurance bike, it's not as snappy as a racing style bike that I normally ride, which is fine. That doesn't bother me per se. It climbs pretty well. It's a decent bike, and the back end, because it has longer chainstays, which is those that go from the where you pedal to the back wheel.
Okay.
Those stays are a little bit longer. So, like, when you go over bumps, you don't feel them at all.
Oh, that's nice.
It just absorbs everything on the back. But the front fork is like driving a jackhammer. And I was like, I put some 28 tires, a little bit wider tire on them to kind of clean up that, but it wasn't enough. It's still real chatty on the road. And it's like, this bike is so disappointing because the back end of it is so nice and it rides really well. It's a pretty good bike. It's just... It's just not as smooth as one would like out of a full carbon bike like that.
Well, yeah, you'll have fun with it anyway.
It's going to be my winter bike. I've got some flat pedals on it so I can ride it in the winter. And I can probably swap out I've got some just plain pedals instead of my power meter pedals. And just, it's going to be my winter bike.
Yeah.
Ride it all winter. It'll be fun.
There you go.
It'll be a good time.
Well, we'd like to thank our sponsor, 3-Sport Endurance, formerly Small Batch Coaching. 3SE works with endurance athletes for short-term competition goals and long-term athletic lifestyles. They focus not just on the end result, but on the training process that makes an athlete a better competitor. 3SE develops personalized workouts along with mental training to prepare for an event, as well as off-season specific skill practice to round out an athlete's entire year. 3SE works with athletes of all levels, from a beginning 5K runner to an Ironman athlete. Find out more at go3sport.com. So we're going to talk about my hellacious weekend.
Well, I am full of energy and excitement. Linda is exhausted.
Yes.
Because what did you do this weekend?
I did a Ragnar relay called the Bourbon Chase here in Kentucky.
Did you chase bourbon?
There was a lot of bourbon involved, yes.
Did you drink a lot of bourbon?
I did not drink a lot of bourbon because I don't like bourbon. A whole lot. Sorry.
You may have to leave this house right now.
Yeah, I know. I don't. I appreciate it.
Let's see if they can hear me sipping bourbon.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes, I walk in after smelling bourbon all weekend long, and I smell bourbon in the studio.
I just can't get away. I don't drink much, but a good glass of bourbon every so often is good.
Yes. I'm that way about wine. No, the Bourbon Chase was started, 11, 12 years ago. And it sort of, it followed along the Hood to Coast in California or Washington State or whatever, which is like a 200-mile relay as well. But this one follows the Bourbon Trail, which we have here in Kentucky. There's 17 distilleries on the Bourbon Trail. This race hits six of them. I think it was six. Yeah, six of the distilleries out of the 17. And it starts at Jim Beam and goes all the way to Lexington to Town Branch is the last one that we hit.
Which other breweries do you go to?
We go to Heaven Hill. Hold on a second.
All the cheap bourbons.
Well, you know, they're on the road. They're on the right place.
Well, Heaven Hill makes some better stuff, but yeah.
Yeah. I had it all pulled up, and now... Let's see. Heaven Hill...
Do you have Four Roses?
We do it. Four Roses, solid. Woodford Reserve.
Solid.
And then, yeah, and then the last one is Town Branch. I mean, it's Town Branch. We don't actually go to the distillery. They're just there because we end at Triangle Park in Lexington.
Right.
There's no distillery there. I think they tried to end at a distillery years ago, and that just didn't work out very well because it's too many people. Yeah. So they basically shut down downtown Lexington for us for this race.
Because doesn't everybody try to finish about the same time,
roughly? Yes. There's a window of our, you know, a window that they like everybody to finish. And they actually, if a team is too far behind, they'll actually have them skip legs and not have a runner do the leg. They'll just say, just skip it and drive to the next one and have the whole team drive.
Okay. Before we got to explain what a leg is.
Now. Yes. We got to explain how this works.
We've got this race that goes to these different, how long is the race?
Race is 200 miles.
So there's 200 miles. And did you run all 200 miles?
Oh, hell no. I don't think anybody runs all 200 miles because there's no way to physically do that, I don't think. And I think you have, the cutoff is like 36 hours that you have to finish it.
So you have to be able to run 200 miles in 36 hours, or obviously this must be a team sport then.
Yes, it is.
How many members are there in a team?
There are either 12 member teams or... You can be really silly and do an ultra team, which has got six members.
Okay, so if I do the math on this, 200 miles divided by six, that's 33 miles per member. That is a little over 50K. So you're going to need some 50Kers to make that happen.
Right.
Are the, and then obviously if you're doing less than that, you're doing about 25, 26K, which is just over a half. Was it about 14 miles?
Yeah. Well, no, some of our, there's miles. 12 runners. So let's say, I mean, just an example, my van, I was in, we have van one and van two.
So wait a minute. So we have 200 miles and there's 12, that means 16.6 miles. That's what I thought, about 16, 17 miles per person. I assume they're not even though. Are
correct.
They? Why are they different lengths? Because of where the
just because of where the ends are and where we can stop.
So how many legs does everybody do? Does everybody just do a 16-mile leg?
Everybody does three. Everybody does three legs.
So there are 36 legs in this race, is what you're telling me.
Is it 36 or 30?
Well, if there's 12 runners and everybody's doing three, three
times
12 36.
Is 36. Sorry. I'm tired.
Math's not your strong suit, is it?
No. Not really, no. Not at all.
So we've got 200 miles. There's 36 legs. Are most of the legs then about, like, say, 14 to 18 miles then?
No.
No, wait, that's what we're
doing. That's per runner.
So if there's 16, you're doing three legs, so you're looking at, what, about 5 miles a leg then? Let's see.
Yeah.
Divide by three, that's 5.5 miles a leg. So you're looking at, so I'm guessing you're looking at 4 to 7 miles a leg then?
Yeah, some of the legs were 3.5. That was pretty much the shortest.
Okay.
Just glancing, 3.2
well,
was the shortest leg. And
did
then
you
the,
get that? Did you get to sprint that?
I did not get that leg, unfortunately. That was not me. I was silly, and I chose to have the longest mileage. I ran a little over 21 miles for combining all three legs. The longest leg was runner 9, and he got 9 miles.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That was the longest.
So do you go 1 through 12 and then start over again each leg?
Yes.
Is it groups of 6 or groups of 12?
Well, the van 1 starts at Jim Beam. They give you, you have to average, the team has got to average a 10:30 pace at the maximum. in order to get done. That's like your time limit.
Right.
So if you're going to average a 10:30 pace, you're going to be one of the first teams that starts. Our team started at 6:45 on Friday morning. There were some teams that started at 6. There may have been some teams that started before that. Mm-hmm. The last team started at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday. Those people were dang fast. They were just kind of flying by.
Okay. So you have two groups of six. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then the next van picks up, and then you pick up after them, and you pick up after them?
Correct. So you have major exchanges where there's also 500 teams. I think that's I think that's as many as can sign up. I think this particular race, looking at the results, we were like a mixed open group and there were 350 teams.
So you're basically looking at five of these exchanges.
Six. Yes.
Because the finish one would be the sixth one.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
So you have these five exchanges that I guess you go from car one to car two. Did you have to like hand over like a...
They had like a slap like a bracelet.
Okay.
So as, you know, runner one comes into the first exchange to trade off to runner number two, you got a slap band that's got the timing chip on it, and it goes and on it goes, and the van drives ahead, gets the next runner out, and so forth. And then you have the major exchange where you're meeting, and that was the first major exchange was at Maker's Mark. Oh my gosh, huge, huge distillery, absolutely gorgeous. Yes. No cell phone service anywhere in that area. So you can't find your other team.
Welcome to rural Kentucky.
Yeah. I'm like, come on. Can't somebody get a satellite over here anywhere close? But anyway. So you've got basically 1,000 vans all at Maker's Mark. It was just, and there are no, you know, don't try and rent a van this particular weekend in the state of Kentucky because it's not going to happen.
Why don't you, this seems like a good time for an RV.
You're not allowed. No RVs.
The roads
are too narrow.
Then this is like something I would never want to do.
Oh, no. You'd never want to do this.
Because you're going to be like cramped up in a van.
We were in an expedition.
And if I'm doing this right, you're looking at, you're going to run every 6 hours, 7, 8 hours?
Correct. There's a lot of bonding. So
that's a lot of just sitting there and watching someone run.
No, you don't even see them run. You drop them off, and then you get a drive and go to the next stop, and you hang around, you see people.
It's like watching paint dry.
You hang around, you drink some bourbon if you're at a distillery.
Watch the grass grow.
You know, watch the grass grow.
Watch the paint dry. That sounds...
You have to wear a safety vest every time you're out of the vehicle if it's dark out. From 6 p.m. to 8:30 in the morning, you've got to have a safety vest on. Fun times.
And people voluntarily do this.
People pay money
to do this.
Yes. I paid my money many months ago before I realized... No, not before. This is the second... Normally, I've been involved with the Bourbon Chase now for probably 6, 7 years, but this is only the second time I've run it.
Okay.
I've been... Every team has got to come up with two volunteers or pay $120 per volunteer that they don't get. So I've always volunteered for a friend's team. And we were at Wild Turkey, and I was in charge of that. And that was fun. I mean, granted, I'm out there all night.
Yeah.
You know, I think my shift started at 2 and ended at 7 in the morning.
And you don't get anything for that?
I got a sweatshirt and a lot of thank yous. Brian is shaking his head and looking kind of perplexed right now.
Okay, so you get out. You're the first runner. You run. And then you wait for your 11 other runners to run, and then you get back out. You sit in a car for while you're going from... Do you get out of the car at any time? I mean...
Well, yeah, you get out of the car...
To pee?
Okay, yeah. Every stop has got porta-johns and stuff. I mean...
Yeah, because you're going to have stops along the way for each leg, and then you have when you go from van A to van B.
Right.
Then I guess that's when all the cars...
That's where... Like, we started at 6:15 in the morning... It was probably about 2 o'clock in the afternoon by the time we got everything. Yeah, because we met them at Maker's Mark. We stayed at Maker's Mark for a while. And then we drove on ahead because the next major exchange was going to be, the next time we were going to see them would be in Danville. So we went and had lunch.
So you got about 6 hours before you start having to send your runners off again.
I slept in a park. That was kind of strange. I felt like a homeless person, but
because you were.
It's like you look around this park that has a public restroom, which was actually clean. Downtown Danville, there's like all these runners just passed out in sleeping bags all over the park. It was wild. It's pretty funny.
So you basically have 6 hours once your van is done running, probably until you have to start running again.
Correct.
So then you can go do something.
Yep, went to Applebee's.
But it's not really long enough to do much. Damn anything.
Just... No, not really. And then we did, so then we did our second set, and we finished, it was close to midnight, probably 11 o'clock. And then...
Was anybody YouTubing any of this? Were there any YouTubers? Did anybody have like their film crew with them?
No. I saw.
Oh, man.
I'll do that for you next year.
That would have been a good opportunity to do a YouTube segment on that.
Okay. I'll do that for you next year. Or you can come with us,
see,
Brian.
You would have to have someone who's like just ludicrously crazy and does stupid stuff, like jump out of the car and go running off into the woods or something like that. Something to be entertaining.
That's what we all do.
No, I'm just like, just in random points. Just...
Oh. Okay.
You don't watch enough YouTube, do you?
No, I don't.
You got to be able to do stupid stuff. We got to have like a dare, like I'm going to run this with two different shoes or something like that. My leg, you know, one shoe and
well,
like one...
I mean, there was a guy dressed as the Incredible Hulk. The theme this year, there's usually a theme, and this year it was heroes and villains. So there was people dressed up in costumes running this thing.
Okay.
You know.
That's good.
There's an Incredible Hulk. There were a lot of, you know, Wonder Women, you know, all kinds of stuff.
But that no, like, dares, like, lick the public toilet seat or something like
that. Oh, God, no. There was a lot of dares, like, you don't want to go into that port-a-john because somebody missed badly. Yeah. Runners are gross. Oh, my God. So gross. Ugh. But you really don't care after a while.
Okay. So let's try to get back on track. All right. So you, each person then runs their leg, and you're basically stuck in a van forever and ever.
Correct. Lots of random food, pillows. You rotate around, you know. Our other van was a rental van, and they had like a big 15 passengers. So
did you bring
a
charger then? Did you have chargers for
yourself? Oh, God, yeah. Well, we were in like an expedition that was a 2019. One of our runners, her dad's a doctor. And yeah, we got the sweet ride. It was nice. It was very comfy.
So, probably had multiple USB.
Oh yeah, USB chargers all over this thing. Yeah, it was nice. I was quite comfortable in the back of that thing. It was all right. I had my little cocoon and my little spot. It was great. And plenty of leg room. It was awesome. That part at least. Although my hips really didn't like trying to climb out of that damn thing every time we stopped. I was like, do I have to get out and cheer somebody on? Yes, I do. Okay.
So were you did you did what? So which of the legs did you do?
I did leg number 2, 14, and 26. So my first leg, they also rate the legs. We are in Kentucky. It is not flat for most of it.
That's a good point. It is not flat in Kentucky.
It is not flat.
Unless you're on a river, it's not flat. That's
correct.
That's a good point.
And so they rate the legs as easy, moderate, hard, or very hard. And I had the longest legs, and I also had moderate, hard, and
hard.
Your
legs do not look that long.
Well...
Oh, wait, no, we're talking about...
My legs are actually quite long, but anyway.
I'm just kidding. That just seemed like the random thing to say. So you had the longest legs.
Yes.
And you had the hardest leg.
And I had the hardest legs, yes. So I had a moderate, which, I mean, was basically I was running on a highway. Mm-hmm. You know, you're running on not a 8-lane highway, just 4-lane. And running up the side. And that was fun because, the police were everywhere trying to keep us safe, which was awesome. And trying to keep the van drivers under control because they're rushing to get to the next place because they spaced out and started talking to somebody and realized that their runner's going to be there and they're not going to be there. So you got vans flying all the way down.
Anybody
the
get
road.
A DUI?
It kept on coming over the text message to our captain, just a reminder that there was no drinking on the course.
What the hell's the fun of this? You can't drink on the course?
Well, you can't drink while you're driving your vehicle, and there should not be alcohol really in the vehicle that people are ingesting. But they had like tastings and stuff all over the place. Obviously, it's the bourbon trail.
Yeah.
So that was allowed, but getting flat out blitzed and driving your vehicle was kind of frowned upon.
Yeah, I could see where that'd be.
But the police were pulling over other cars that, you know, general population that were driving. I was actually running up the road. A truck flashed their lights at me, and I was like, huh, something's coming up ahead. And sure enough, I saw some blue lights coming, and they were pulling over the car that was right behind him. And I was like, I think I'm going to get up on the grass so that this guy doesn't hit me on the side of the road. So, I mean, there's some places there's no shoulder. It's a little scary. Yeah, I ran on a highway for most of my first leg. Most of my second leg was also on a highway. I don't remember too much of that leg because it was really late. I wasn't too super late. I got to see the sunrise. I got to see the sunset. And then the last one, it was just dark. The last one was just straight uphill. I knew that course and I knew it was going to be painful. It was.
How'd you run?
Pretty well. The first two legs, third leg, my thighs were done. And then my foot, I don't know what I did to the inside of my foot, but today I looked down, I'm like, huh, it's all bruised. No wonder it hurts so much. My teammates did really good. The first year I did this, I was pulled onto a team because they lost a runner like 2 weeks before, and they were desperate to get somebody. And it was an all-women's team, and for whatever reason, these people hadn't trained. I mean, they couldn't do it.
There's no need to train when you have to go out and run 15 miles.
Yeah.
There's just no reason.
Sure, there's no reason to do that. I mean, yes, it's in small pieces. If you're runner three, let's see.
Runner three had
3.5, 3.2, and 5.3 miles. Okay. Most people that run semi-regularly could pull that off without a whole lot of training. But some of they just weren't even runners and thought that they could do this.
I can see that.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So we ended up having to skip legs, and we were the second to last team in. This team, I mean, they were all upset. And I'm like, you get what you got to do something to make this work. This team was spot on. I mean, boom, boom. We actually finished almost an hour ahead of when we were supposed to. So me crashing and burning on my last leg was actually okay, because everybody else exceeded their goals, you know, what they had initially put down. Some people put like almost a minute cushion for their pace. And I was like, okay. See, the other thing too is you can't sandbag this race. You get in a lot of trouble. If you get to the exchanges before you're supposed to, they will hold you. They will hold your team for an hour if you get there ahead of time. So you can't think you're going to quote unquote win this race by lying about your times. They'll pull you off the course.
So how do you win the race?
Well, I mean, it's still on time, but you've got to be placed appropriately. Like when I was in the exchange in Wild Turkey, they warned me. They're like, there's two teams that are trying to sandbag. If they get here before this exchange opens, you need to pull their chip and hold them for like 2 hours. I mean, they were so mad because they had been warned, hey, you're ahead of schedule. You're getting to the exchanges too early. You can't do that.
So I guess
you can still be fast.
What is the last leg then?
The last leg would be, 4.8 miles.
So if you could get like a super sprinter there.
Yeah,
you
but
were
you
on
still
the front
can't.
End,
yeah. Yeah.
You'd have to be at the front end of all the times and then have a sprinter at the end.
I mean, it just, yeah, you've got to be, like I said, I mean, the last team started like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. Those people are the ones that are trying to win this thing.
Yeah.
Obviously, the exchanges are all open because they're starting so late. It's the teams that were getting in trouble when I was in charge were the ones that were starting at like 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, and had lied about their times,
yeah.
Or you know, replaced.
Well, I mean, you're basically want to get to that last exchange right when it opens.
Right.
If you want to win.
Yeah, but you don't really. It all depends on when you start. You know, it's all chip time, just like a triathlon.
Well, yeah, but that's okay. Is it? But it's not the total team chip time, because then whoever goes last is going to win.
No, it's the total chip. Yeah, that same chip goes with every runner.
Well, then why would going early matter? Why not?
Well, they were getting
later?
To the exchanges early. They were trying to get to the exchanges first, but they were too
so they would
early.
There would be no one there or something?
I don't know what they were thinking, because all it did was tick people off, especially the race director.
Yeah.
I went ahead and let them wait. And, you know, I'm a volunteer. I mean, I'm, you know, getting yelled at is beyond my pay scale in this case. I'm not going to confront people I don't know and go, give me your chip, dudes. You know, that's going to tick some people off. So I was like, hey, just stay here. Stay away from the timing mats until, you know, for the next 20 minutes, and then I'll let you go. And the race director showed up after I told them that. This was last year, and ripped them a new one. He didn't take their chip because I had already said, you can wait. But he, oh my God, he was furious, absolutely furious at them because they had been told, you're going too fast. You need to slow it up. And they didn't. I don't think they got disqualified in the end. I don't know. I didn't keep track. I was too tired. But anyway, so we did the third transition. When we were done, we came home and actually went to a hotel in Frankfurt. And I went home and got 2 hours of sleep. And then actually, no, then we still had one more leg to run.
That's right. Do you have to be at the final then at the end?
You don't. Okay. And actually, I missed going across the finish line because I was talking to somebody when our last runner went by. And there was like 4 runners that came. And I was looking for her, and I was talking to somebody from another team. And the rest of my team was over there. And I guess they looked for me and didn't see where I was. And I didn't realize that she was coming. And I get a phone call. Where the heck are you? You missed the finish. Don't go through the finish line because we're already done. And I was like, oh, oops. I just... spent 32 hours with you all and I missed the finish. Wow, that's disappointing. I was like, wow, how anticlimactic.
That's very anticlimactic. That's a little letdown.
I was like, wow. All right. Well, I made it. I got a medal. You know, they grabbed me a medal and I didn't get my band. Like, you get free shots of bourbon and all this other stuff. And I, not that I cared about any of that, but... I got my picture taken with the team, so at least I'm in the team picture. It's like, oh, I'm not in the team picture going across the finish line, but that's all right. I think only 2 of the team members realized I wasn't there.
So this was a 36-hour race then?
Yeah, we did it in 32. I'd have to look at the results to see. 32 hours, 30 minutes, and 40 seconds was our official time. And we came in.
And you ran for 3 hours of that, roughly.
About that. Yeah.
So you spent 29 hours sitting in a car just watching...
paint dry.
Watching paint dry, listening to the wind blow.
We were 250th out of 396 teams. Yeah, so there are 396 teams in this race. And the open mixed division, which was us, we came in 115th out of 212. So there was definitely some much faster teams. Our average pace was 940.
So what was the... were the ultra teams with 6th, were they in the same group or was that its own division?
That would be a different division. Yeah. I don't know if they'd even be included in the 396 teams, to tell you the truth. They might have a whole separate, I don't really know.
There can't be that many teams doing that.
No. No. Now, when I did it 2 years ago, I don't know if I was in great shape.
Because, I mean, you need some 50. You need what? A bunch of people who could do. You could do 6 guys who could do 50K.
And the problem is if something happens to one of those runners, it's very hard to replace them. It's not so hard to replace one of 12.
Yeah.
You know, and if you got one person and you've got everybody, if somebody from our team had, you know, gotten sick or couldn't come that, you know, the last week, we could have all done extra legs and made up the 3 legs. It wouldn't have been a problem. But if you're doing an ultra team, no, that's not going to happen. You know, you've got to find
somebody running...
else.
3 halves, basically. Well, not quite 3 halves, but
you're running 3 fulls.
3 10 miles.
Yeah. I mean,
you're running 30 something miles.
Yeah. That's
so,
a lot.
50K. So you're running 15, 20K segments. That's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot. It's really hard to find somebody at the last minute that's going to fill in that spot.
They can fill that spot.
And you figure, you know, and you can break it up any way you want to with the ultra teams. You can do, you know, all 6 of your legs at once. You can do 2. You can do 1, you know, and just rotate around. I know how little sleep I got. If you're doing an ultra team.
It seems to me that your best bet would be to do all 3 legs together in that type of environment. Just go ahead and do your 50K and move on.
When I was doing my last leg, a guy was passing me, and I was like, yeah, you're killing it, you know, as I'm, like, dragging my butt up the hill. And he's like, oh, you're doing great. And I was like, I can't remember how it came up, because he was moving along. And he's like, yeah, this is my 5th leg. And I was like, wait, you're on an ultra team? He's like, yeah. And I was like, I thought about doing that. He said, rethink that idea. So he was probably runner 1 and runner 2. And he was doing all those legs. So he was on his last section. And I was like, oh my God. Because that hill, it's in Versailles. I bike it all the time. And it's part of the Lucky Leprechaun course. And I knew what I was getting into when I turned the corner. I was like, oh, forget it. I'm just walking this. Ran when I could. So I got home last night. I took a shower. I was in bed by 6. The kittens decided to wake up at 2.
Nice.
And like trash my desk. And just,
nice.
Run all over the place. So that was
good times.
I got up again. I woke up again. I think I finally got out of bed about 7:30. I was like, okay.
So that's going to mess with you probably for a few days then. Yeah. Before you get back into that's the other side of it, since you don't really sleep for 2 days.
I mean, it's not the running that's that bad. It's the lack of sleep that really messes with you. You know, I tried to bank some sleep last week. It didn't work very well.
Oh, there's only so much you can do. You know, it gets harder the older you get.
Yeah, yeah. It'll take me a few days. And I was not the oldest person on the team. My sister-in-law was on the team. She's older than I am. But I was in a van with much younger people. They bounce, you know, they could live on Twinkies and M&Ms for 2 days and nice. Run just fine. That's all you need. Twinkies, we had Applebee's and then we had Mexican after we were all done and margaritas. And I was
Mexican's a bad idea just general. And
this was after we were done.
It doesn't matter. It's a bad idea anyway.
Yeah. My stomach's still kind of trying to figure out what the heck just happened.
Now, if you said, I'm going to White Castles, dude, I'm in. I am all in. If we're doing White Castles, I'm in. Let's go.
Oh, no.
Let's go, White Castles. Oh, I've been so good.
So nasty. Mexican and margaritas was much better than White Castles.
I am all in if we're doing White Castle. That would be the good stuff.
So gross. No. No White Castles.
So did you have fun?
I had a really good time. The people that I was with, there was a lot of times there's lots of drama and stuff. There was none of that. Learned some things about people that I did not know before. And, you know, that was okay. Met some people. It was funny. We had this one guy in the expedition. So he was sitting directly in front of me pretty much the whole time. He only saw me, I don't know, you know, very rarely did he actually see my face. So we're in Danville. The ladies' restroom line is really long. Guys' line, there's no line. So his name's Jesse, and he goes up and goes to the bathroom. He comes out, and I'm like, watch the door. I'm not standing in this line. Jesse, watch the door for me. He's like, okay. So, you know, I mean, we're all runners, whatever. So I go into the guy's room, come back out. Thanks. Yeah, let's head on back over to the van. Apparently, he admitted to me several hours later, he didn't know who I was. We just spent 14 hours in the same vehicle. We're about halfway through. But because he had never really seen me, he was runner two, or he was runner three. So I was always handing off to him, but he never really looked at me because I was sitting behind him. He was thinking, you know, oh, I've done Bourbon Chase so much, people know who I am now, you know, when I said his name. He only figured it out when we got up to the car that, oh, crap, she's on my team. I will fondly always remember the back of Jesse's head. It was pretty
good times.
Good experience. Really glad it only happens once a year. There's some other ones. There's one up in Cincinnati that the team is actually talking about doing, but it's only one day. And you're doing 4 miles each or something like that. It's maybe a 4-person team or I don't know. It's just a whole lot shorter.
Yeah.
This whole 2-day stuff is a bit much. It's a bit much.
Van 2,
they didn't have to start until we finished our first set. They met us at Maker's Mark.
Yeah.
So they didn't start until noon, 1 o'clock, something like that. So they didn't have to get up at the crack of dawn. But they were running in the heat of the day. Yeah. I'm out on that.
It
no
was
way.
Like 50 those days.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Although Saturday morning was a little warm. It got up into the low 70s, which really isn't bad, but it's still pretty warm. And also their legs were in the middle of the night. And, you know, I was very happy to run at 8 o'clock at night. Yes, it's dark. But it's only 8 o'clock. I was much happier being at the front end of it than the back end. So doubt I'll ever do Van 2. I'm going to have to. They've said, you know, that I did well enough that they'll let me back on the team next year.
Oh, how magnanimous of them.
Well, I really, the pace I put down was when I was in marathon shape. I've not trained, you know, and I managed to finish it, but it wasn't pretty. It was an experience. Come join us next year, Brian.
Yeah, I'll be sure to be out of town that week.
There's lots of bourbon, though. Come on. That part would be fun.
That's about the only part that would be fun.
Well, I think that wraps up our episode for this evening. Thank you all for listening. And remember to call 3SE if you're looking for a coach. Talk to you next week.